How good to see you today. Let's have a preview, all right? 14 weeks that guy's going to be up there preaching. What's he going to talk about? Well, we're in the book of Revelation. Next week, we'll just continue on. And we're going to deal with the subject, the question, are all churches the same? Are all churches the same? And the answer to that is going to be yes and no. So we're going to talk about that as we introduce the next two chapters in the book of Revelation. All letters to churches like our church. And we're going to find out that each letter closes with a promise. So what we're going to do one week is take the main body of the letter, and then the following week we'll take the promise that goes with that letter all the way through until we get to the last one. And the last one, we're going to lump it all together. We'll have the promise and the letter all put together in one message. So that's the direction that we're going to be taking. I think it's an important one because being a local church and being a local church with challenges, we need to hear from the Lord specifically about that. So that's what we're going to do for these next few weeks. I want you to be sure to notice that we find in front of us here 55 consecutive Bible verses preceded and followed by quotation marks. Are you with me? From this point on, beginning in chapter 1, verse 17, all the way through chapter 3, verse 22, it's one great big quotation, 55 verses long. And John is quoting Jesus. That's what we have. We're pressed then to carefully investigate this text, these 55 verses, because the quotation is specifically directed toward us, a local church congregation. We don't have to wonder about that. We don't have to try to figure out what is going on in what's ahead in this quotation. It's Jesus speaking to us. And John wrote it down. You see, John is employed as secretary and postal clerk to transfer the actual and literal words from the Son of God, who is at the throne of God, to the people of God. Now, I think there are some individuals who will regard this as junk mail. You get junk mail? You look at it and barely look at it and toss it. Well, there are those in the world around us who would see this all as junk mail. But true local churches must see it as registered first-class mail. I hope you'll see it that way, take it that way, understand it that way. Now we're at a bridge point in Revelation 1. We're at the bridge that connects John's meeting with Jesus to John's receiving from Jesus the ecclesiastical letters filed in the next two chapters. So we're moving out of and we're moving into. We're slipping away from this whole meeting situation. There's still some more of it here, but we're going to move now into, and we'll see some of that in this text as well. The section with the letters. Now in this meeting with Jesus, maybe you'll remember at first John heard Jesus from somewhere behind him. That's verses 9, 10, and 11. He heard. And then he turned. And so verses 12 to 16, then John saw Jesus. He heard him, then he saw him. This is his meeting with Jesus. And now I'm saying that John feels Jesus. It's kind of an interesting way for me to put that to me. What does that mean? Jesus feels is felt by or John feels Jesus. What we're saying here is John explains how he feels after seeing Jesus and how Jesus reacts to those feelings. How does John feel? Now, we don't put everything on emotions and feelings, but we have to deal with it sometimes because it's in the Bible, and I'd really like to know how you'd feel if you heard and saw Jesus like John did. It's important to know that because that's the introduction to the letters to congregations, and what this is a note to a local church congregation. Here's how maybe you ought to feel a little bit when you know who's walking in your midst. So, let's open up this bridge point, verses 17 through 20. Point A, first of all, John's feelings are revealed. John's feelings are revealed, and they're revealed in two different ways. They're revealed by what John does, and they're revealed by what Jesus says. Revealed by what John does. John's personal testimony. I want you to get it. Okay, this is like taking something out of his diary. He, in verse 17, says, I saw, I fell. Okay, personal testimony here. This isn't someone else writing about what they heard about third hand, what happened to John. This is his personal testimony, and it's that he collapses in front of the glorious presence of Jesus. That's his testimony. And I want you to know here, he's not bowing in worship. He's not bowing out of respect. That's not the image we're to get from this passage of Scripture in verse number 17. His legs give out. And down he goes in a motionless, semi-conscious state. That's his testimony. John is overwhelmed. John is overcome. He feels powerless. He feels small. He realizes how great and grand this one is, who stands majestically in front of him, that he's just struggled to try to decide using all of those as this and like that, and I can't get it just precisely. I'll do the best I can. And then he says, I fell down. You see, John is shaken and maybe shaking as he's there on the ground. He involuntarily falls. To me, he looks afraid. Does he look afraid to you? He seems awestruck. And maybe he's even dumbstruck. And just in case some doubter is calculating some other explanation. Can't you just see that? Somebody reads this and they say, well, it's not really what John says happened here. And they're trying to come up with something else. And the key isn't that he's afraid. So to dispel any question, not only we have his feelings revealed by what John does, but by what Jesus says. There's no doubt that John's afraid. Jesus says so. If we had no other description of John, we still know that he's afraid because Jesus says he's afraid. That's why he collapsed in front of me. Actually, what Jesus says here is stop being afraid. It's not, now don't be afraid, don't get afraid. You're afraid. I can tell. I know. So stop being afraid. The action is already going on, and Jesus knows it. And Jesus knows that John is afraid, not just because John is a quaking heap in front of him on the ground. That's not the only way he knows. It's interesting that this same one, John, wrote about Jesus in his gospel, in John's gospel, chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, John wrote this, "But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew what was in man and had not need that anyone should testify of man, for he," that is Jesus, "knew what was in man." So are we together here? As John meets Jesus, he first hears, then sees, and then he feels. And what does he feel? He's gripped with fear. He's gripped with fear. Now, I'm going to speculate here, okay? Is it all right to speculate once in a while when you're preaching the eternal truth of the Word of God? Let me just speculate. I think I would be afraid too. And I kind of guess maybe you would. Now, there's no fair saying here, well, I'm forgiven. I'm redeemed. I'm justified. I'm not condemned. I'm going to be glorified. I wouldn't be afraid. Wait a minute. Who is this that's afraid? John. John, who was chosen as a disciple and made an apostle. This is John who once saw, and not only saw, he performed miracles in the name of Christ. He stood on the Mount of Transfiguration. He watched at the cross. He rushed to the empty tomb. He witnessed the ascension. He was there on Pentecost when they were bathed with the Holy Spirit. He became a chief elder in the church at Jerusalem, and he's afraid. I wouldn't dare say I wouldn't be afraid. Not when I'm stacked up against John, who collapses in fear. He's not a novice. He's not a rookie follower of Jesus. When this man, incredible scripture writer of 5 books of the Bible, collapsed when he saw the glorified Jesus, he's afraid. He is afraid. Just because he served the Lord, just because he followed the Lord, just because you fill it all in, doesn't mean when you see the glorified Jesus, you don't have a little fear. No, that's not the way to put it. You don't have a lot of fear. His spiritual privileges and experiences and opportunities and knowledge did not prepare him for what he sees. He wasn't ready for this. Of all that he knew about Jesus and had seen of Jesus and got a glimpse of this at the Transfiguration, he wasn't ready. He wasn't ready to see the glorified Son of God. And isn't that the point here, church? Jesus wants John to share with local churches, with our church, with this congregation, "John, share your experience when you see me." This Jesus is the one in their midst. I want them to know who I am. Tell them, John. Let them know exactly what happened to you when you saw me, the one walking in the midst of the churches. So, church, let's not take this lightly. I encourage you, have a little fear of the Son of God as he exists right now. John's feelings are revealed. Next point, John's feelings are relieved. Whew, we need this, don't we? His feelings are relieved. Now, John is not able to shrug off his fear. The smelling salts of his own willpower are not going to revive him. He's in a heap on the ground. He's basically passed out, trembling, shaking, in fear. And he can't just say, okay, I'll stop this now. He can't just shrug it off as if, oh, this is nothing to be fearful of the Lord Jesus in his glory. He can't defy gravity, which binds him to the ground. Something, someone greater is needed. Let's listen to John's record here. Point one under John's feelings are relieved. They're relieved by the command from Jesus. Jesus says, stop being afraid. Stop being afraid. Now, at first when I read that, I'm saying, well, that kind of sounds like the parent scolding a hurting child to stop crying. I mean, the child's hurting. He came running to you crying. He's got a bloody hand. And the parent says, okay, now stop your crying. That's not the way we want to take this here. There's something else going on. Put on your thinking caps. What would these words mean to John? Let me ask you this. Did John ever hear these words before? Fear not. Over 50 years earlier, John and the other disciples heard these words over and over and over and over again. John himself records 24 times in his gospel that Jesus says, fear not, don't be afraid. 24 times that he wrote down in his gospel. How many more times did they hear it? Will not these words find an echo chamber in John's soul? There he is in a heap on the ground. And all of a sudden he hears these words, oh, so familiar. Oh, so often said in particular situations. And he hears the Savior, his Savior, saying, John, stop being afraid. Will he not recall how soothing those words used to be and realize how much they are again? This simple command accompanied, it says here in verse number 17, by Jesus' gentle hand laid on him. Must have been empowering to John. Can you see the scene? Can you see the hand? Can you hear the quiet words? John, stop being afraid. I want to ask you, should it not be so with us today? Do we have any fears within? Any fears on the outside? Even holy fear of the Lord Jesus in his glory. Any fears? These things can be too much for individuals and families and churches. Local churches can have experiences and situations and difficulties that are scary. And Jesus says, John, get this down now. I want them to hear you are afraid, and what did I do? I put a gentle hand on you and said, okay, stop being afraid. You see, let the shepherd's voice reach the sheep's soul with those words. And I think, anyway, relief comes. You relax. The shepherd has told me, don't be afraid. It's relief, relieved, the feelings are relieved by the command from Jesus, but also by the comfort from Jesus. You see, aside from that memorable command and the gentle hand, there is something else. What does Jesus do in the end of verse 17 and all of verse 18 that comforts? Now, get ready, okay? Because some people are not going to maybe think this is the way to go with comforting one another. May I be so bold as to say that what Jesus does to comfort John is review doctrine. Isn't that what he does here? This is Christology 101. Jesus takes John back to school. And how kind of Jesus to use those first two words there in verse number 17. Do not be afraid. I am. Wait a minute. I am. The next verse, same thing. I am. Is John going to recognize though that set of words? I am. I am. Boy, that rings a bell. How kind of Jesus to use those two words. Read John's gospel. Do you remember that John is the one who records all of the wonderful I am pronouncements by Jesus? I'm the bread of life. I'm the door. I'm the vine. I'm the resurrection and the life. I am. I am. And when he hears that, can you imagine John? Oh, yeah. I don't need to be afraid. I am is talking to me, has put a hand on me, cares what's going on. You see, Jesus pours into John's heart the oil of fear not and the wine of I am to quiet and calm the tossing feelings within John. We may have all kinds of ways that we think we're going to calm ourselves or somebody else down. Now, don't be afraid. And we come up with this, that, and the other. Why don't we take Jesus' example here? And what Jesus does after he says, I am, is support that with more doctrine. Incredible what he says here, isn't it, that Deb read earlier? I am the first and the last. That's doctrine. Verse 18, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. Look what he does. He reviews for John who he is, where he's been, what he's done. Emphasis on deity, eternality, sovereignty. I just love the authority there in the end of verse number 18. Expressed in the description of the keys. The realm of the dead and the state of the dead are under Jesus' lock and key. Boy, that's good to know. Sometimes you feel like dying, don't you? These things are so scary, I don't know if I can live through it. Who's in charge of death? Who can lock and unlock? We're even going to study one of the churches that Jesus says, you got a name that you live, but you're dead. What a thing to say to a church. Can anybody do anything about that? Well, the one that has the keys. So these pages from John's diary are amazing to read, at least to me. John's feelings are revealed. He's totally afraid, and then they're relieved. I want to ask you something. What are your feelings right now? In particular, is there any fear? Fear in your own life. Something that nobody else knows about and you know about and it scares you. Something with your family. You're fearful about it. Something in the church. And you're so unsure, you're so afraid, you feel like you're in a heap on the floor. I don't know what to do. I can't shake this myself. That's the context here, right? And I wonder, can Jesus' prescription bring relief? Well, the combination from the very lips of the glorified Jesus of stop being afraid and remember I am, can't that comfort you? Can't that put a little oil on the waves of the water of your life? Isn't it theology and Christology that the fearful need? Well, he really ought to go out and take a walk in the park. Okay, great, take a walk in the park. While you're there, look at the creation and who made it. Look at the trees and remember one was fashioned into a cross. But why is it so important to get over our fears? Whether church fears, family fears, individual fears, you name it. Why is that so important? Why is it so important for John to get over his fears? I mean, there he is before the risen, glorified Lord of glory talking to him. That's our next point. John's feelings are replaced. See this for yourself. See this for your church. Number one, replaced with submitting to Jesus. Do you see it in verse 19? The very first word, write. Write the things which you have seen. John, you got to stop being afraid now. You got something to do. Listen to me, John. Submit to what I'm telling you to do. Write. As long as John is in a heap on the ground, he's not productive, is he? What's he doing there? How's that a help? Fear will prevent him from duty. Jesus reminds John of his writing assignment. He did it back there in verse number 11. Now he does it again in verse number 19. John, you've got a few things to write down here. John, you're not done yet. You've got lots of chapters to go. John, stop being afraid. I am. Remember me? Okay, now submit to me. Write. That's what he needs, is to have his feelings replaced with submission to Jesus. Feelings, get this. We go around saying, how do you feel? How do you feel? How do you feel? But let's just remember, feelings are not supposed to hold us back from doing. John, your feelings, okay. But don't let that stop you from doing what I want you to do. Jesus floods John's soul with some assurances, and then he's like a good coach. He sends him back into the game. Okay, John, get up, back in the game. By the way, you aren't letting feelings, especially fear of something or someone, hold you back, are you? Are we? I am pretty sure that we can find any number of things Jesus wants us to do. They're there, they're waiting there. Maybe do by ourselves, maybe do with our families, maybe do as a church. I love the text that's coming. It's going to be a few weeks, but he tells the church, I've got an open door for you. I wonder what open door he might have for us. If we're clenched by, gripped by fear, I wonder if we'll ever get through the open door. Let's be wary of feelings that may prevent us submitting to what he says. And then the second point, replaced with serving local churches. We've already nibbled this part of the cookie, but we want to say a little more about it. This ecclesiastical boomerang keeps circling back to us here in these chapters, doesn't it? As long as John is huddled in the corner with his feelings, the churches are going to suffer. Get that? Jesus wants churches to hear about John's meeting with Jesus. He says to John, I want you to write these things. Write what you've seen. And as long as you're not writing, they're not getting it. Jesus wants churches to hear about John's meeting, the hearing, the seeing, the feeling, all of it. And Jesus is intent on getting letters to the churches so that they can learn about his wishes. John, you're the guy. Come on, John. Stop being afraid. I am. He can't let his fear, even this incredible fear of the glorified Jesus. Jesus says, now don't even let that keep you from doing what you need to do. I wonder, is there anyone here letting negative feelings get in the way of faithful service? Not just generally, but to this Jesus church. John, there are churches in need of your ministry. Folks, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a church in need of your ministry. I know of at least one. Maybe there are others. Does Jesus need you and me to submit our feelings to Him and to stir up our service for Him? You don't know how I feel, though. I guarantee Jesus does. He knows how you feel. He knows what's in man. He knows what's in woman. They don't even have to say it. They can just lie in a heap on the floor. And He knows. And He says, stop being afraid. I am. The glorious Son of God has provided adequate and real relief for all of our fears, even some such as incredible as this one here. Fear of Jesus in this sense is not even enough reason to neutralize our service for Him. Even having this kind of experience, He says to John, okay, now up and at Him. You'll have plenty of that later on. You're just getting an appetizer here. You'll get the full dose of it later. I suppose it is Christians who benefit by applying this message. So be sure to do it. Christian. Church member. This for you and me. And if you're not a Christian, I'll change it a little bit. Your fear should be continuing. If you're not a Christian, it means your sins are not forgiven. It means you're living under the wrath of God. Jesus once said, you really ought to fear the one who is able to send body and soul into hell. You really ought to be afraid of that. But He also said, you believe in Me, you trust in Me, you have no fear of hell, of anything, because I am. Folks, we have a wonderful Savior. And wouldn't it be incredible if he would just show Himself, for 10 seconds here, walking in the midst of His church. I'd like it. And I'll help you get up off the floor and you help me. Well, we can look forward to next week. Are all churches the same? Maybe there's some church needs what we've said more than another one. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank You so much for Your Son, Jesus, who is a faithful and true witness. And His enlistment of John, who likewise faithfully recorded what Jesus said to him. Oh God in heaven, anyone here that is fearing something, someone, draw near to that one. by your shepherd's voice, encourage them to stop fearing and to look at who you are. Bless our church. We need your manifest presence in our midst. For our good, our God, we're in bad shape if you don't help us. Bless this congregation, especially as we read our mail from our Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.